Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you.
Today's special guest is Carrie Turgeon. Hello, Carrie.
Hi, Gary.
So we've asked Carrie to come in because we're quickly approaching the fifth anniversary of the tornado that struck Jefferson City, Southern Cole County. Carrie was mayor at the time, and we just thought it'd be a good opportunity to step back and just look at and remember what happened on those days. So, Carrie, it doesn't seem like it was 5 years ago that the tornado struck, does it?
Sometimes it seems like a lifetime ago. Like, did that really happen? And then there's times when it feels like it was just yesterday.
Yeah. So when the tornado hit May 22nd, 2019, as mayor, you became one of the main spokeswomen for the city at that time. So give us an idea of what you remember of the night before the tornado hit, when it hit, and the hours after that.
Well, looking back to that night, and of course, I had just been reelected for my second term. So I was reelected in April, and then in May, here came the tornado. So I remember looking so forward to that second term and all the great things we were going to do. And then immediately we were hit with that. And if you remember, right before that, we actually had major flooding. And so the day of the tornado, we declared a flood emergency. So looking back, we had multiple disasters on disasters. But when I look back on that night, I think, of course, like everyone, it's 11:30 at night. I just remember being so tired and I had just gotten in bed and then the sirens went off and I knew the forecast. I knew the warnings were out and decided, you know, I was watching Zach Paul on KRCG and there was something about his voice that was different. You know, all of us that know and grew up in Jefferson City knew the myth that Jefferson City doesn't get tornadoes because of the hills and the river. And so there's a part of us that knew that wouldn't happen here anyway, right? But then watching Zach and the forecast and knowing, hearing it in his voice, it was a different tone and he was so serious. So I just remember then it's almost disbelief after it went through, but watching the reports and then when it was over, kind of calling on neighbors calling me. The first call I made was to my mom and dad and making sure they were okay. And thankfully they were. And then the next call was to my little brother. And I thought, I don't even need to call him. He's tough. He's fine. Like, right. But I'll just call him, just check in, see how he's doing. And that's when it hit me that something was really wrong. And he was just screaming. He was just, it's gone. It's gone. And it was his business. He had just watched on the camera system until the camera blew away, but he watched his business basically blown away by the tornado. He had a storage unit right on the hill above Braun Storage. And we know what happened to Braun.
Right.
So that was just hearing his voice. And they said, I got to go. I smell gas. And that was it. It was very scary. And that's when it hit me that this was not just a storm that blew through. This was major. And then after that, my phone didn't stop ringing. I don't even remember. Probably the next week, it just didn't stop.
So you hop in the car, head downtown?
Yes. I remember sitting there for a bit, just like in shock, I think, first. And then heading up to City Hall. And coming from my house, it was relatively untouched, that area. And then coming towards City Hall and going to the Emergency Operations Center, which was the police department, and walking in and just, it was a frenzy of activity of every public safety individual and agencies from everywhere were converged there to help.
So what happened at that point?
I remember the conversation I had looking at Lieutenant Williams, who was really our main communications there, and coming up to him. And that was probably one of the, I'd say the hardest moment. And that was right initially after the tornado, but going up to him and saying, how many people are hurt? How many people are injured? Like, that was the worst question that I could ever ask. Like, as a mayor, that is the worst thing. That is your worst nightmare. That is like the worst thing you could ever deal with is something like a tragedy or a disaster hitting your community and having people either losing their lives or get hurt. So that was the hardest question because I just frankly thought with the extent of what I had seen and heard that there was no way that people got out of that unharmed. And when he said so far that the injuries had been so low, I was shocked. But that was the hardest question to ask. And then from there, I remember getting into a police car with Sergeant Wilde, who's now Chief Wilde, going into the neighborhoods. And it was just dark of night, like power lines were down. I remember being afraid and scared like everyone else. Like, sure. We went over towards the YMCA where the apartments had been hit. Seeing the wall down at the YMCA was surreal. Seeing people out of their apartments. I remember Captain Wilde out there helping people because people were just kind of dazed and disoriented, like what just happened, and people saying, I need my medications. I need this. I need that. Like, what's going on? And I remember just the dark pitch black. The only lights were the headlights. There was no power, debris everywhere. Like, how are we even driving over this? Like, how are we even driving through this? It was just, I'm thankful I had that opportunity to see it firsthand.
Yeah.
But the perspective of our first responders, and I know, of course, Farah was in there rescuing people that had been somewhat trapped in the debris, and the job of our first responders just initially making sure everybody was safe and accounted for was the initial reaction.
Yeah. So as the night passed and light came about, I mean, what were some of the things that you saw after those initial hours?
Before the light even came up, I remember walking the streets in the downtown area with our city administrator, Mr. Kroll, and saying, okay, this isn't hit. This is still here. Like the things that you're like, oh, this is okay.
Yeah.
And then seeing things that were just completely gone, how selective it was, and then how close it was. I mean, it was right in the heart of our downtown. It wasn't far from our Capitol. It wasn't far from so many things. Like, you think about how close between Capitol Region and the Jefferson City High School, it was just right in between.
Yeah, Lincoln
narrow
University.
Yes, narrowly missed all that. And I remember that morning just assessing the damage before the light even came up. I remember in the night hearing from my family in Greece that had heard about it already. They reached out to me before my family in Colombia did. Like, they had heard the news. Like, I thought, how did they even know? Like, how did they hear? Of course, they're 8 hours ahead. That's already daytime there. And the news had traveled like the world already,
right,
of this massive storm because it came up through the whole Midwest. It was through Oklahoma and Missouri. And they heard about, of course, the Capitol. So people were concerned. And speaking of news, I got my first call from national media 1 hour from the tornado, and that was from the Today Show. And I remember thinking, how did they get my number?
Right.
And how do they even know? Like, what is going on? And that's kind of when it hit me. I thought, is this really you? And then it just didn't stop. So many of the national news that was focused on and converged on this disaster, this tornado.
Yeah. Were they remote where they were calling and you were just speaking from the area, or did they arrive on scene?
Today's show had somebody here with a camera, and then I did the reporter. I had Craig Melvin was in studio, of course, but they had cameras on the ground there.
Yeah.
And we met up by the U-Haul and Sonic and the church, that area up off of Highway 54. And I remember the sun had not even come up when I did the Today Show. That was the first interview. And I remember having to speak to the world when I didn't even know the outcome. And when I look back at that first interview, I can see myself kind of in disbelief as they asked if people had been hurt and injured, and saying that thankfully there were no reports, but I didn't hardly believe it.
Right.
And I was so afraid to even speak about that. But then at the same time, I remember having to talk about that we were strong and we were going to get through it. And you know, you're talking to the nation and to the world because you're talking to these national outlets, but really I was just talking to the people of Jefferson City. And I was just simply saying that we're going to be okay, and we're going to figure this out, and we're going to be strong. And that's bottom line. That's what it was all about.
What are some of the other challenges in those first hours and days that you and the city faced?
There were so many, and just the multitude of debris everywhere, like just getting around, like those that weren't here and didn't see it cannot ever understand it. And you can look at pictures, but to see it with your own eyes and see the streets completely covered and blocked, and huge trees down, walls completely blown away and things blown apart, and like just sticks where it was houses. You cannot understand it till you see it.
Yeah.
And if you see it on TV or you see it, but when you are walking among it and in it and watching every step and you are right there, that was a huge challenge, was just number one, making sure everybody was okay and making sure those officials could do their job, because everybody wanting to pitch in and help, kind of managing the chaos that was happening. Yeah. Those were all huge challenges. you know, no power was there, but the power, Ameren and everybody was all hands on deck, and they got our power up and running. I've never seen so many power trucks ever in my life in one place. Like the speed at which people put Jefferson City back together was just astronomical.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure there were many groups from around the nation came in to help in a variety of different manners as well.
They did. And these are groups that do this for day in and day out for disasters. And so they're trained to do it. They come in and bring resources and help. And I do remember one of the great takeaways from them was just how they said that Jefferson City was one of the best communities they had seen as far as the response effort from our local individuals, that they all came together. And they just said it was quick, the way we got our donation center set up and, you know, United Way partnering with all the agencies in town and the volunteers with public safety together, you know, hearing their messages, that we put Jefferson City back together in a quick manner. And they hadn't seen just the people helping people like they saw here. They said, we're going to level with you and be honest that this is really like what you have here is special. Like I knew that and we knew that, but to hear it from them was really great.
Yeah, that is one memory I have is too, just that outpouring of generosity of time, money. You've also, I think, mentioned in the past that other mayors reached out to offer help, support.
They did. Those who had been through it said, this is a marathon, not a sprint. Brace yourself. This is going to take years and like many, many years, and it's going to be a lot slower than you want it to be.
Yeah.
And they were exactly right.
So clearly much of the attention those first hours and months and even year was you had this role as mayor that you were looking out for the city overall, but there's a personal side to it as well, right? You mentioned you had just started your second term. You had some visions for what you wanted to do with the city that necessarily had to be put aside.
Yes, I took this tornado very personally. I mean, this hit hard all of the priorities that Jefferson City was moving so forward on. And that second term I ran on, you know, riverfront access, Capitol Avenue revitalization and MSP, the prison redevelopment, and all those revitalized areas and revitalization projects. And the tornado hit them all directly. I mean, Capitol Avenue, there were places that were leveled that really were hit hard, and it went right through the prison, tore the roof right off of the most historic A-Hall housing unit. So that set back those revitalized efforts. So I took it very hard and very personal. It made me really mad that those things that we had worked so hard for. And then you think of other things we were so proud of, like the Special Olympics Training for Life campus had just opened. It was right. Brand new. It took a direct brunt of the storm.
Destroyed it.
Yes. And they rebuilt. But I remember being in there and seeing the roof of the gymnasium completely open and the floor water all over it. But how thankful though we were that nobody was in there. So just like everyone else, while those were important projects, I realized what really matters is that we are all still here to talk about it and we're all still here to move forward. And those things were all adjusted and things can be rebuilt.
Sure.
Buildings and whatever. That's just not the priority and not what matters. And all these neighborhoods that were so established that were just wiped off the map.
Yep.
And people that were displaced and didn't have homes. I remember the next day after the tornado, Governor Parson going around and looking hands-on at assessing the damage and took me with him and going through Lincoln University and those neighborhoods and seeing people out of their house. And not one of them said, oh, you know, my car is destroyed. It's upside down over there. They were just like, we're so thankful and lucky to be alive. I mean, nobody was concerned about what they lost as long as they were still there. Along with Governor Parson, we went to see Riley Chevrolet, met with Kevin Riley, saw him there on scene. And that was one of the hardest things, to look him in the eye after his entire, you know, life's work of his business for generations, seeing that.
Yeah.
That's another thing you just couldn't process. The cars upside down on their side, just like toys thrown around.
Yeah.
Every single one of them, like the massive amounts. And you think, had that been during the day? So how thankful that we were lucky despite how it turned out.
You know, I think that's something in the fullness of time you look back at and you do realize that even in such a tragic event like that, there's some things that you really need to be thankful for. You know, I think of Simonson. They had classes there. It was the last day of classes. If it had arrived earlier in the day, how devastating that would have been. Same thing with Lincoln.
Yes.
Same thing with Braun. Same thing with Riley Chevrolet. you don't want to minimize the tragedy, but it could have been so much worse.
Absolutely. And you think of Sonic and the employees, I believe, hid out in a cooler area just to get away from that. I mean, so many people and people on the highway, and you saw the semis overturned in the median and things that were, you're just like, how fortunate we were that we really weathered that in Jefferson City, considering the extent of an EF3 coming through the heart of a heavily populated area. And I think that might be why it was so newsworthy, was that it did really destroy such a populated area. It wasn't out in some field somewhere that you sometimes hear a tornado in the distance. It was right. I mean, we're talking a few blocks from our capital, literally. It ripped through our capital city.
And I think, again, it kind of goes to that personal connection there, too. I mean, you are a Jefferson City native, born and raised here, friends and neighbors who were impacted. I mean, how did you balance this role as mayor while at the same time you've got friends and family members who are directly impacted by this?
Well, we all did. Every single person in Jefferson City, whether that tornado damaged our own home or property, we all either knew someone, worked with someone, had a friend, family member. Everybody was impacted and touched by that. And I know as a mayor and leading through it, you know, that's something you just see on TV, like other mayors, you know, and you think, gosh, I'd hate to be them. I hope I'm never that. You know, it's somewhere else. Tragedies and disasters, they happen other places. You don't ever want to think that that could actually happen here. But we were all literally impacted. And the thing that I remember that was so amazing about it was, even though people were directly hit, they were the ones out there helping others. They weren't asking for help. They were the ones saying, okay, I know my business is gone, but I'm over here like helping this other person. I know I dealt with that with my brother. And it's like, George, you know, what do you need? He's like, that's fine. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. Go help the other people. They need it more than I do. I'm fine. And we saw, you know, Holly and Quentin, whose place was destroyed on Capitol Avenue. They're out there helping other people. And that story, as I start naming names, it was everybody. I mean, sure. Ann Bax, the director of Our United Way, her own family had a home that was hit as well. So here she was having to balance the personal aspect, yet also run the agencies that were helping others. And every single person that helped others was also directly hit in some way themselves.
I remember the photos of council members out there pulling brush, and wasn't even their ward.
Yes.
You know, they had come from other areas of the city to help. And it just, some of the images from that tornado just are indelible that you see. And I recall photos of you hugging folks in the street, just making that connection with them. Brings back a lot of memories.
It really does. And we had a great council. They were out there. They were so hands-on. I remember seeing council members sunburned and their arms just totally scraped up from picking up debris. And I mean, they were amazing. And being out among the people, and I remember specifically the memory of being on Capitol Avenue, which was just a disaster zone. And Corey Zinishek came up to me and she was out there, you know, cleaning up. And she just said to me, can I have a hug? I remember that hug. There's actually the picture of that. And every time I see that picture, it makes me cry every time. I get tears in my eyes because that hug was like for everybody. Like I remember I wanted to just, you want to hug everybody in Jefferson City. Like we all needed that at that moment. And not only did she need it, but I did.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time, the pressure of the event and having the everything that trying to balance and lead through all of that. I mean, I needed that hug as much as she did. And I felt the weight of Jefferson City on my shoulders. And I remember going to Quinn Chapel and speaking with Reverend Gould and just praying with her and telling her that, like, that's how I felt was because it was such a weight and just praying together with her. I remember praying with strangers. We would all be together and just have prayers together and that we were able to lift each other up because just as much as we prayed for others, like I needed that as a mayor to lead through this challenge and keep going as well and be able to reassure everyone that it was going to be okay. But I knew in all of those moments that not only was it going to be okay, but we were going to come back so much better and stronger because we could have gone this several ways. We could have said, look what happened to us. And oh, well, it's this part of town and this and that. And we could have taken a whole different attitude, but we said, this is so important. We want everybody to have resources they need and we're going to rebuild no matter what it is.
Yeah.
And some people haven't rebuilt yet and that's okay too. I mean, this, you know, the tornado brought us back stronger, but then we have to realize there are some people that still to this day have not. They still have either an empty lot or empty place in their heart, or they're not even here. They've moved on somewhere else or whatever it may be. I mean, those were really extremely difficult times. Yeah. And I think, you know, it happens. And then we recovered so quickly and so well that sometimes people look back 5 years and say, oh, you mean there's people that are still struggling? Like there's people that are still having issues that haven't rebuilt? Or, I mean, all of us now when a storm blows through, we don't think the same. I mean, we all have a different level of concern and fear, but hopefully preparedness that we didn't have before.
Yeah. I think that's an overriding memory I have also, is just that the strength of the community. And obviously the motto, I guess, for the city became JC Strong.
Yes.
And it was very evident in how the community did come together. So as you go through these areas, whether you're walking through Capitol Avenue, whether you're driving through Ellis around Sonic and Furley and, well, what's now Rusty Druing Chevrolet, what are the things that just bring you pride that you look back and it's a fond memory that you cling to?
I'd say just knowing that we got through it and we didn't let it affect us in the manner that we weren't going to rebuild, and we did. And we just came together so strong. And I remember going to all the grand openings and going and doing all the ribbon cuttings and like seeing it all come back, because we did come back better and stronger and bigger and better than ever before. And there's still potential, like we're not even there yet. So think of what is yet to come, because we didn't let it define us. We are letting it kind of guide us to the future. Like that's part of our history that kind of changed the dynamic of who we are. But, you know, nature is a powerful force, and we have to remember that it's much stronger than we are, and respecting that and being able to work through it and manage it and adapt. And I think Jefferson City has adapted very strong and very well.
So what are some things that, as you go through those areas, that are still nagging you, that you wish that we could get taken care of?
There are things, you know, when I look at, like we look at MSP, for example, and the tornado tore the roof off of housing, you know, the A-Hall housing unit, and the most historic one. And we were just right in the heart of prison redevelopment when that happened. So people sometimes don't even realize, and we were getting ready to have our fourth concert inside the walls a month later. Like that was a whole exciting redevelopment area. And then that kind of put a stop to a lot of that. And we had to adapt our redevelopment process. So while that change destroyed some of the other buildings enough that they're being taken down that maybe could have been a different outcome, it's still okay. It's part of the history of MSP. But looking at some of the, it just changed that project completely. So, you know, looking back, what still nags me is there are still places boarded up. There are still, it's almost like some areas you see houses that are perfect and then you see just the empty lots, almost like it was a graveyard feeling for a while where you just had these empty spaces within neighborhoods. So that's really nagging. But then on the other side is seeing it come back and finding, for example, Habitat rebuilding some homes and seeing the new owners getting their keys. And these are in the tornado affected areas, and seeing people rebuild. But knowing that there's still people displaced, knowing that our housing number is not up to what it was pre-tornado. And like those other mayors told me, it's going to be years and years and years. So, you know, understanding that 5 years is still not complete.
So what would you say to those who are still in the marathon to encourage them?
Definitely never give up, and that we are all strong together, and knowing that they need to lean on others still to this day, still 5 years later. And that's okay. So do I. I mean, we all have to, you know, like I said, all of our families were affected in some way, and we have to just stay strong together and be proud of how far we've come, but make sure that we're always prepared no matter what. Practice our plan for real, put it into action. Don't just talk about it. And know that we have to speak with each other with some grace, because you don't know what people are dealing with. You don't know what they've been through. And some people have come here and they were not here during that time. And some of us are walking around with that. You can look around, just go out this door.
Yeah.
Just go look out here. Go out almost any door in this whole however many miles that the tornado came through, and you will see something that will make you think of that and remember that there are people that are carrying a heavy load still.
Yeah.
5 years later.
All right. Well, Carrie, thanks for sharing your time with us today.
Well, thank you. Those winds were strong, but we're stronger.
All right.
And I always firmly believe that did not define us, but it's certainly 5 years later. It's important to remember that, because, you know, our future depends on it. We want to make sure Jefferson City always retains that strength that we had. I mean, J.C. Strong is real. It will be forever. And while I don't ever wish any kind of situation like that, I'm thankful that we got to experience that and see the very best in people. It didn't matter who you were. It didn't matter. There was no such thing as status or political backgrounds, or it didn't matter what candidate you liked or didn't like. Like, nothing else. The only thing that really was important was just helping others. And to be able to see that at the very heart of human nature and helping each other, like in those very, very worst times, that we experienced that here. And we got to see the very best in helping people, because the only thing was making sure, are you okay? Is everybody okay?
Right.
And what can we do to help? Nothing else. Everything was put behind us. Everything. There was no grudges. It was just help everybody out. So that was pretty incredible. And I hope that we all, those of us that experienced it, go back to that place when we celebrate the 5-year and remember what that was like, because we all had that. We all did that. So I would encourage everyone on the 5-year to go there. And if you can, tell your friends about what that was like, because you've got to share that. You have to take that with you.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.